Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for today's study. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask now that as we look again at the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of your Spirit, Lord, that you would just open your word to us, God. Lord, show us the foundation that we need to have when it comes to the Spirit and comes to the gifts of the Spirit. And Lord, we ask your blessing on our time and your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if there was ever a time we need the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the days in which we live, is it not? And if there's ever a time we need the gifts of the Spirit, it's the day in which we live, is it not? And you'll understand that more as we understand the gifts of the Spirit and what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. Now, last week, we started laying the foundation for the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to continue that this week. And guys, we're going to look at five foundational issues. Four of them here, we'll get to probably a total of five, but four main ones. Number one, we're going to look at today the gift as our tools. We're going to look at who is the giver of the gifts. Thirdly, we're going to look at, does every believer receive the gifts or all the gifts? Number four, we're going to look at the diversity but unifying factor of the gifts. And lastly and fifthly, we're going to look at the most excellent gift of all when we finish this whole thing out, and that is the gift of love from the Lord. But the first thing we want to start out with, guys, are our tools for the ministry. Now, guys, note this. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit gifts are our tools for ministry. That's how I want you to view that. Now, if you want to do a building project without the tools, you're welcome to do that. I worked for my uncle for a while when I was in college, and he's an electrician, and he would have me do all the dirty work, I guess because I was young, and he thought I had the strength and all that and this kind of thing. But there was a wall to be broken down, he would hand me the sledgehammer, and I'd break the wall down. If there was a ditch to be dug, he'd hand me a shovel and say, dig the ditch. Now, I'll tell you what, as much as I hated tearing down the wall and digging the ditch, I was appreciative for the sledgehammer and the shovel to do it. Because if he had said to me, you know what, go tear that wall down, but you have no tools, he'd be like, what? Go dig that ditch. What? Could I have torn the wall down? Yes. But it would have taken me a lot longer and would have been a lot harder. Could I have dug the ditch? Yes. But it would have taken me a lot longer, been a lot harder, with a lot blacker fingernails by the time I was done. The bottom line is, we need the tools that God gives us for ministry. The best way I know to sum up the gifts of the Spirit are they are our spiritual tools to get the work of the ministry done that God is calling us to do. Now, some people say, I don't want those tools. I don't need those tools. And what happens is they spend their whole life in frustration. They spend their whole life doing a second-rate job on the building that God has given them to build. And by the time they're done, it looks like something your kids put together when they were little. Guys, the bottom line is God wants us to be expert craftsmen. He wants us to use every tool we've been given. He wants us to build the ministry that he's put us in charge of, and he wants it to be something that glorifies his name. That is what the gifts of the Spirit do for the believer. Can you imagine having someone and hiring them to build your house and saying, I'll build our house, but you can't use any tools. That's part of the contract. How do you think they do? Look at you. You're a nut. You know, what are you talking about? Forget it. Have somebody else build it. Guys, we need the gifts of the Spirit. They are essential tools to do what God has asked us to do. Now remember, we're not talking about a salvation issue. We're talking about tools for the ministry. Now, does this mean that you can't do anything without the gifts of the Spirit? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means it's going to take a lot longer, and it's going to be a lot harder, and by the time you're done, it's not going to be near as pretty. That's what tools do for the workman. And you're only as good as the tools that you have. The Lord has given us amazing tools in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're not going to speak on each of the gifts of the Spirit today. We're going to talk foundational. In later weeks, we'll talk about the gifts and how each one operates, and then you'll see how these tools operate. But that is the first thing I wanted to note today, and you'll note that we're going to move rather quickly through this, and that is those are our tools for the ministry, the gifts of the Spirit. The second thing I wanted to talk about today foundationally is who gives the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this may sound very obvious. It's God, of course, but there is a technicality. It is God, but yes, it is actually the third person of the Trinity. Look at verse 11 there in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He has just named all the gifts. He's talked about the different workings of the gifts and the diversity. Now he tells how we get them. Look at verse 11. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Note that. Who is it that gives the gift of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit gives the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's another slight technicality I want to point out, because there are also gifts for ministry. That is leadership gifts, authority gifts in the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians after this, but go to Ephesians chapter 4 as we read verses 8 through 12. Because I want you to see now some gifts that are given, that is, gifts that the Lord gives for leadership in the church. Notice he says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to go through 12. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So notice this, Jesus here, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That is, he emptied out Abraham's bosom where the believers were held until the cross. He took them with him to heaven. And again, he gave gifts to men. Now, that is the gifts he's given here to the church. And now we're going to see what gifts that the Lord Jesus has given. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? That he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice these leadership gifts in the church that Jesus gave. Why did he give them? Notice verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see very clearly the Holy Spirit gives the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And now we see Jesus giving the leadership gifts, if you will, to the church here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Now, why do I say this? Because this brings up a question. If Jesus gives the leadership gifts, he's the one who anoints and calls, then he's the one that should be doing that. It's not something we should be voting on. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, guys, who is it that gives the gifts of the Spirit? The Bible says in verse 11 of chapter 12, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts of the Spirit. That means no man should ever be so presumptuous that he's trying to do that. Maybe you've been in those situations where you've seen someone said, come forward, I'm going to impart to you the gifts of the Spirit. And as I pray for you, I want you to begin to do this, or I want you to begin to do that. And they begin to coach you. Mostly it comes with the gift of other languages, or what we call the gift of tongues. And they'll say, now begin to speak, begin to say la, 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 or do whatever you are going to do. And all of a sudden that gift, listen, that is not his place, nor is that his right, nor is that his ability to do so. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he wills. We leave that in his hands. And so a very clear foundational principle we need to learn before we get to the gifts. Now, this brings us to our next foundational issue, number 3. And that is, does every believer receive all the gifts? There are some who teach today that if you don't receive the gift of other languages or tongues, that you are either not filled with the Spirit, or in some cases they say you're not even saved. But is that biblical and is that scriptural? The answer is no. That is not biblical, nor is that scriptural. It's interesting to me that only the gift of other languages, the gift of tongues, the gift of other languages, it is the only one that some say you've got to have in order to prove you're filled with the Spirit or that you're saved. You never hear anybody say, well, if you don't have the gift of prophecy, that proves you're not filled with the Spirit and that proves you're not saved. Well, if you don't have the gift of wisdom, that proves you're not filled with the Spirit and that proves you're not saved. Well, you don't have the gift of healings, that proves you're not filled with the Spirit, that proves you're not saved. Now, you never hear that about those, do you? It's only that one particular gift, and I think because it is the one that is so easily manifestatable that it seems to be the one that everybody, you know, gravitates around. But the bottom line is the Bible says that we do not get all of the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives them as he wills, and Paul goes on further in this in verse 28, draw your eyes to that with me. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting here in verse 28, notice what it says. And God appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, or we would say languages. And then in verse 29, notice this, he goes into a series of rhetorical questions to make his point. Rhetorical questions means a question that comes with an obvious answer. These are grammatically rhetorical questions. Notice the question, are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healings? No. Note this. Do all speak with tongues? No. He goes on. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly, he says in verse 31, desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, and we'll get to the more excellent way in just a moment. I want to show you one other verse where Paul was saying, okay, look, guys, I'm glad that some of you speak in tongues. I'm glad some of you have the gift of healings. I'm glad some of you have the gift of administration, and some of you have the gift of whatever these different gifts that God has given. I'm glad you have them. But you know what? It's better that you use the gifts that are the most usable in the body with the body. Now, he goes on to talk about this particular gift of languages in chapter 14, verse 5. You can glance at it if you want. It's just one page over. Paul drives this point home that not everyone gets all the gifts and makes it very clear that not everyone gets the gift of other languages. Then Paul says it in verse 14, 15, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. Meaning what? That they don't. I wish you all did. That'd be great. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to the unsaved. So he's saying to those who are saved, he's saying to those who are believers, I wish every one of you spoke in tongues. I could say with Paul this morning, I wish everyone here did. Because the reason that gift is given is to build the believer up. It's something that is done to build you up, the Bible says. It builds you up spiritually in the Lord. And it's a great gift to have. But not everybody has that gift. The Holy Spirit gives them as he wills. And Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now, why would he want us to prophesy more than speaking with tongues? For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed interprets, that is, so people can understand it, that the church may receive edification. He's saying, look, tongues, nobody can understand that. He said, if I stand up in front of you guys, Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in the church that everybody can understand. I'd rather speak three. God loves you. And he said, I'd rather speak five words in the church than 10,000 words in another language or in tongues. He said, because it doesn't edify anybody. You ever been to a service where you don't speak the language? If you've been in missions, you've done that. If you haven't been to missions, you probably haven't done that, unless you're thinking, yes, today's one of those. But anyway, if you missions, you go to other places, you sit there and you go, okay, you know, and you don't get a thing out of it. I remember walking out going, I got nothing out of that. I felt the sweet spirit of the Lord, but I didn't get edified or built up because I didn't understand a word they were saying. That's what the gift of other languages is like if it's used improperly or if it's used in a way that's supposed to take the place of the teaching of the Word of God or other things. And so this, again, shows us very clearly how the gifts are given, and specifically some of the gifts that are picked today to make a point out of. The Bible says, no, that's up to the Lord. He's the one that chooses that. Now it brings us to our next foundational point that we're going to keep clipping right along, and that is we're going to see here with the concerning the gifts of the Spirit that although they are diverse, they are unified. Now look with me in chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. Notice what it says. Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So guys, note this. There are many differences in gifts, but it's the same Lord with the same purpose in mind. You know, even as we have body parts that do different things, we need all those body parts to function properly, don't we? That is why I want this body to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, because we need the tools that God is giving you to build the ministry. You need those tools. And without those tools, we're going to have ineffective work that's being done. You know, if one part of your body's messed up, what is your total focus on? That part of the body. Nothing else seems to work right. But the bottom line is that when you have something like that, it seems to control everything. Your whole body is out of whack because of one small part of it. And guys, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we need to make sure that we have all the gifts operating so that all the ministries work together the way they're supposed to work, and there can be a unifying purpose as well in the body of Christ. So as we exercise our gifts, it's a blessing to the entire body. As you use your gift, it blesses me. As I use my gift, it blesses you. Guys, if we had every single gift, we wouldn't need each other, would we? See, if God gave you every single gift, you wouldn't need anybody. You'd be a complete package. If I had every single gift, but what God does, God gives one, you know, a gift here, God gives another gift there, and we have to call on each other and say, come here, I know you operate in that gift, and you work that way, I need your help. And so the body works and the body functions in the proper way that God wants it to when we do this. And so we see the fourth thing is that the Spirit foundationally is diverse in works, but is unified in Spirit. Now, the last thing I want to look at today, the very last foundational thing that we need to know is that Paul, after writing all these things about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, which we're going to get to, don't worry, we're jumping around some as we do this. There's a reason, because I felt the foundational things need to be covered in our day and age before we went back to talk with, because they weren't dealing with some of the same struggles that we're dealing with today. We're going to go back and look at them. But after Paul writes down all these gifts and talks about them, notice what he says there in verse 31 of chapter 12. He says, earnestly desire the best gifts. In other words, it's good to pray for them. It's good to desire them. But yet I show you a more excellent way. What Paul is saying is, guys, all the gifts are great. But there's a much more excellent way than even the gifts. And see, here's the point. Whether you receive the gifts or work in the gifts or operate in the gifts that God has for you or not, if there's nothing else you get out of today, it would be this one right here. And that is, I show you a more excellent way. What is the more excellent way than the gifts of the Spirit? That is love. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I've become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. He says, hey, whether I've got all the gifts or not, whether I can speak more languages than anybody in the church, and I'm very gifted in that area. He says, the bottom line is, if I don't have love, I'm just a noisemaker. That's all I am, a noisemaker. Guys, I don't want to be a noisemaker. You don't want to be a noisemaker. He goes on, notice this, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I mean, everything that's going on in the world, we grasp it. We see through the spiritual glasses and we get it. We understand prophecy. We have knowledge from God, and God does this, you know, whatever that's going on. He says, you know what? Though we have that, look at this, and though even I have all faith, I mean, I can believe anything for God to do it, so that I could even remove mountains. I mean, the Smokies moved out of the way. But I have not love. I am nothing. Goose egg. Guys, all the giftings in the world, all the spiritual fervor, all the special events, it means nothing if love is not central. If love is not everything, it means nothing. He goes on, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, we start giving to all the needs in Knoxville. Though I give my body to be burned, we say, you know what? Persecution arises against the church here in America. Let's say that. And we say, you know what? I'm not going to deny my Lord. I'll go to the death. You're going to burn me? Burn me. He says, you know what? Even if you do that, notice what he says. But if you have not love, it profits nothing. Guys, there's the message he's getting across here. Love is paramount. Love is everything. Love is what we've got to be walking in. And love comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, the great, you know what is the number one manifestation that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not the gifts. The number one manifestation that you're filled with the Spirit is love. The more excellent way. Paul said, greater than all of those, love. It is the most excellent way. And why? Because God is love. And if God is love, that means nothing can be right with God if it's not done in love. That doesn't mean that there's not judgment. That doesn't mean there's not confrontation. But it's done in love. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. And so he goes on and says, notice this, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And I have that underlined. What a great way to cap off that whole statement about love. Guys, it never fails. And what's exciting to me about this, look, especially when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I told you this last week, what's amazing to me is this love sandwich that God has made. Have you noticed chapter 12, he talks about the gifts, and chapter 14, he talks about the gifts, and in chapter 13, he puts this big, huge, yummy piece of meat called love right in the middle of it. Chapter 12 is your first piece of bread, first piece of manna. Chapter 14 is your second piece of manna, and right in the middle is this juicy, big, fat, glorious love. Because guys, without love, it doesn't mean anything. I don't care what gifts you have. God doesn't care what gifts you have. Whether natural gifts or supernatural gifts, if it's not operating in love, it serves no purpose. It is wasted and it is useless. It is worth nothing. And so our focus today, as we get into the gifts of the Spirit over the next few weeks, we're going to teach about the gifts. We're going to talk about the gifts. We're going to show how the gifts operate as our tools for ministry. But the bottom line is, unless we operate in love, the gifts mean nothing. They completely mean nothing. And so guys, as we end this today, I want us to end in praying for a more excellent way. Yes, I want us to pray to receive the gifts, but I want us to pray for a more excellent way, and that is love. And listen, I want to make a request of you that I made for the first service, and that is this. One of the things I've been praying for years is to be more and more and more a man of love. And I'm going to ask a favor from you. I typically don't do this, but I'm going to ask you to pray for me that God would make me more of a man of love. And here's why I do that. Because in order for this body to grow in love, I've got to lead the way. And yes, I love you, but I don't love you like I should. Yes, I love the lost, but I don't love the lost like I should. Yes, I love God, but I don't love God like I should. And so I'm praying, first of all, that you pray for me that God would do in me what he needs to do, but how many of you guys need to grow in love as well? So we're going to pray for God to do that work in your heart that you might grow in love as well. Guys, listen, this is what everything revolves around. Everything in the Bible revolves around love. The Bible says that the world will know that we are his by the love we have one for another. Everything. When we talk about the gifts, when we talk about anything, it's all got to revolve around love. It's interesting. John the Apostle was known when he was first in the Lord as the son of thunder. Remember when he called the apostles? He called John and he anointed them. And John was known as a son of thunder. This is a son of thunder, right? Why did he call him that? Well, there's probably only God knows all the reasons. But you remember the time in Samaria where they come into Samaria and he goes, Lord, do you want me to kill them all? Should we call in fire and just burn everybody here? This was an apostle called to be an apostle of God. And Jesus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand what spirit you're of. I didn't call you to kill everybody. I called you to love everybody. And guys, what's exciting to me about that is that at the end of John's life, he was known as what? The apostle of love. See, I have people call me ever so often. I've had one just not too long ago. I've had two or three of these over the years. We got a pastor, a new pastor, and he's really great teacher. I mean, this guy can teach the word like nobody's business, but he just doesn't love us like he should. It seems like he doesn't love the people enough, and he doesn't love this. Wait a minute. How long has he been a pastor? Well, he's brand new. He hadn't been a pastor very long. Great gift, but I just don't know that he don't, you know, he just doesn't love it. Hey, you need to let him grow into that. Jesus said, what? If you love me, what? Love my sheep? Feed my sheep. Now, yes, we have to love too. I'm not leaving the love out. Don't get me wrong. But he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's where most young pastors start, feeding the sheep and yes, loving the people. But that's something that God fills with the Spirit and they grow and they mature over time. John started out as this man calling down fire from heaven. And by the time he was done, he was known as the apostle of love. He wrote the book that we call the book of love, the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, all these things of love that John did. Revelation, all these things that John did. Amazing that God did that. The Bible, whether history, secular history tells us that when John was old, he wouldn't preach anymore because he was too old, but he would come and speak to different congregations. And can you imagine the excitement that would be in the room if John was coming? Calvary Chapel Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to have John the Apostle here, so make sure you get early to get a seat. You know, don't save any seats, you know. We save people, not seats, right? So we don't want to put our Bible down, and we don't want to try to line everything up, this kind of thing, right? So we know that whole mindset, but show up in time so you can get a seat. Can you imagine this place would be packed? It'd be in the halls. It'd be out there in the parking lot. You couldn't get the people in if they knew John the Apostle was going to be here. Now, that's what it was like in his day. He would show up. He'd been around forever. They said they would carry him out on a stretcher, and they're waiting for this great message from John. And he would say the same thing in his last days to all of them. He said three words, love one another. Love one another. And then they said they'd carry him out. That's the message. You want to hear the great message from the great apostle who walked with Christ, who lived on the earth all those years, who God gave visions to, the book of Revelation, all that. What is the thing he would say to us if there's one message he could give us this morning? You know what it would be? Love one another. So I'm asking that you as a body pray for me that I be a greater man of love, that I learn to love better, that God would infuse me with greater amounts of love, and that we as a body, that you would pray for yourselves and for each other, that we as a body would become more and more of a body of love. Because guys, I can tell you in these last days, we're going to need love more and more, aren't we? Times are getting interesting. Let's pray for God to give us the gifts, but let's pray for God to also make us men and women of love, because that is the more excellent way. Let me say that is the most excellent way, and that is higher than any gift that God could ever give. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word, God. How we thank you for the power of your word. How we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we need these tools. You've given us a toolbox. You've given us the spiritual screwdriver and the hammer and the saw and the axe and all these things that we need to do the work. God, let us receive them all. We want every gift you will give us. So Lord, right now, I just pray if there's anyone that is not filled with the Spirit, you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then right now, ask God to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. And then say, Lord, I receive all that you have for me. I receive the gifts that you want to give. And ask God, if there's a gift you don't have that you want, it's okay. The Bible says, earnestly desire all the gifts. Begin to ask the Lord, Lord, give me all the gifts. And here's the way I say it to you, Lord. Give me everything you know that I need and give me everything that you want me to have. I willingly receive it right now. And so does everyone in this room, Lord, right now. They willingly receive it. Guys, receive it in the name of Jesus. Whatever the Lord has for you, right now, receive it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray, God, that you would give us the gifts. But God, I pray greater than that, the most excellent way, a more excellent way than the gifts or anything else, that is that we would be men and women of love. Oh, God, infuse us with your love. The greatest evidence of being filled with the Spirit we know, Lord, from your word is not the gifts. The greatest evidence of being filled with the Spirit is the love that we have for you, the love that we have for one another, and the love that we have for the lost. Lord, fill us with that love. And I just pray, Lord, right now, before we finish, if there's anyone here or listening to this who doesn't know you, and their hearts have been touched this morning, and they know, Lord, that they are a sinner, and they know they're not right with you, that right now they would pray this prayer. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I give my life to you. And Lord, I just declare that I am yours. And I ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.